Of course, there's a famous story of Sudama Brahman, and everyone in India loves this story because they figure if they worship Krishna, then you get unlimited riches back. But Sudama Brahman didn't want unlimited riches, he wanted devotional service. But in India, it's such a popular story. Okay, so read from the translations and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, and we'll just read the English now. So it starts with the first verse. King Parikshit said, O Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. So, commentary in this chapter. Sudama comes to Dwarka and is worshipped by Krishna. After questioning him lovingly, Krishna reminisces about their life together in the Gurukula. The next verse, O Brahmana, how can anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification, give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? In the commentary, we see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of Krishna repeatedly, nevertheless cease from hearing. The jnanis fixed on the impersonal Brahman are an example of those who give up these topics, but one who has realized that the essence of life, Vishesha Gya, is to constantly relish Krishna's transcendental form and qualities and pastimes, never gives up those topics. One who experiences the taste of hearing about Krishna's fascinating pastimes automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. Next verse. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for him. A true mind is that which always remembers him, dwelling within everything, moving and unmoving. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about him. Parikshit Maharaj said, this is the commentary, not only the ears, but all the organs of the body, let's see if it's easier here, become useless without a connection with Krishna. In the second canto, third chapter, verse 20, Shanaka Rishi made a similar statement. Jiva sati taru durit keva sutta. The tongues of those who fail to sing of the Lord are useless as those of frogs. The senses should work together in Krishna consciousness. In other words, whatever the eyes or ears experience, the mind should simply remember Krishna, who is within all things. Next text. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in his manifestations among the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord, and actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water that has bathed the Lord's feet, or those of his devotees. In the commentaries, it says, the eyes which see both the deity form of Vishnu and his devotees, the head which bows to those two forms, Ubhayalingam, and the limbs which receive the foot water of Vishnu and his devotees are fortunate. The word angani, limbs, refers to those limbs which are above the navel, since pouring charanamrita on one's body lower than the navel is offensive. Sutta Goswami said, next verse, thus questioned by King Vishnurata, that's of course Parikshit Maharaj, the powerful sage Bhadarayani replied, his heart fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now the story begins in the next text. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna had a certain Brahmin friend named Sudama, who was most learned in Vedic knowledge and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses were subdued. Living as a householder, he maintained himself with whatever came of its own accord. The wife of that poorly dressed Brahmana suffered along with him and was emaciated from hunger. You know what emaciated means, though? That means, because that's not a common word, that means, you probably don't know what it means, it means they're just very thin, and the cheeks are drawn in.
That was Sudama's wife, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was emaciated. And they're just like skin and bones, you know, like a walking skeleton that's emaciated.
People didn't give them enough food?
Yes, somehow they didn't get enough. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because when he was young, I believe the story's here in the purports, but when he was young, he and Krishna went to the forest one time, and they got lost for the night. It was raining, and they hid in a tree. The story's there in the Krishna book. And during that time, there was some prasadam that was given to Sudama by the guru and the guru's wife, and Sudama didn't share it with Krishna. He ate it all himself. And because of that, the reaction was, you know this story, because everyone in India knows that story. The reaction for that was that he had to become poor later on, because he offended Krishna when they were kids together. And later on, of course, you'll read how he became very rich. So, okay. She was emaciated from hunger. In the commentary, it says, Sudama's wife exhibited the same qualities to Talavada, such as tolerating hunger, shuchima. The word cha implies that she was even more tolerant than Sudam, because whatever she received as food, she served to him, remaining hungry herself. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? The chaste wife of the poverty-stricken Brahmana once approached him, her face dried up because of her distress. Trembling with fear, she spoke as follows. She was distressed because, this is a commentary, because she could not obtain any food for her husband. Out of fear of her husband, she was also trembling, because she knew that he did not want to beg the Lord for anything other than devotion. That's pretty interesting. I mean, that's a test of a pure devotee. When a pure devotee is put in a situation, a difficult situation, the pure devotee generally will not ask for themselves, they'll ask for other people, and they'll ask the Lord for pure devotion. And there's some interesting stories, like there's that story of the lady who was collecting firewood, and she was out in the forest collecting firewood, she's putting it on her head as people do in India. And then what happened is that she dropped the firewood by accident, and then, you know, putting it back on your head is kind of difficult because it was all stacked up there. And she started crying, and praying to Krishna, Krishna, help me. And Krishna appeared, and what did she ask him? You know the story? Put the firewood back on my head. So that's when we ask for material things. It's something like that. So, continue. Sudama Brahmana's wife said, O Brahmana, isn't it true that the husband of the goddess of fortune is a personal friend of your exalted self? The greatest of the Yadavas, the Supreme Lord Krishna, is compassionate to Brahmanas and very willing to grant his shelter. So, in the commentary, this is very interesting. Vishwanath Chakrabarti elaborates on their conversation even more. From her statements quoted here, we can see that Sudama's wife anticipated every possible objection her husband might make to her request that he go to Krishna to beg charity. Sudama might say, how could the husband of the goddess of fortune befriend a fallen soul like myself? His wife replies, saying, Shri Krishna is Brahmanya, very favorably disposed towards Brahmanas. And this is like an imaginary conversation, not imaginary, but an envisioned conversation that Vishwanath Chakrabarti is, Thakur is having. This is in the, of course, in the purport, not actually in the verse. Sudama says, I do not have any qualities of such a Brahmana. The wife says, Krishna gives shelter, Sharanyash, to anyone who surrenders to him. Sudama says, since I have no devotion, I do not even have the quality of surrender. The wife says, Krishna is the omniscient Bhagavan. Therefore, he will take note of your unhappiness and be merciful to you. Sudama replies, Krishna is equally disposed to all the countless unhappy conditioned souls suffering the fruits of their own karma. So why should he give wealth to me? The wife says, Krishna is the master of the devotees, sattvatas. He may not give, but the devotees who serve him by fanning and other actions will mercifully give you some charity. Since Krishna maintains the yadus, what burden or fault is it for him to maintain you? And that's the end of that purport, so then we go to the next text. O fortunate one, please approach him, the real shelter of all saints. He will certainly give abundant wealth to such a suffering householder as you. And then the commentary. Sudama's wife continued, you may not consider yourself a sadhu, but you are definitely in a wretched condition. Seeing that you are struggling to support your family and worthy of charity, Krishna will surely give you generously. The word cha, following sadhunam, implies that Krishna is also the final shelter of all those who are wretched. Next verse. Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bhojas, Rishnis, and Ambikas, and is staying at Dwarka. since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshiper and prosperity and material enjoyment, which are not even very desirable? So commentary, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and another conversation between the wife and the husband. Sudama said, but Krishna may be in Indraprastha, Trasht, Dwarka, or some other place killing the demons. His wife replied, Krishna has now put aside his weapons and does not leave his capital, Dwarka. Since Krishna is the ruler of the Bhojas, Vrishnis, and Andakas, if these opulent rulers merely acknowledge you as a personal friend of Krishna's, they will give you everything you need. Sudama says, but I'm embarrassed to ask anything from Krishna. His wife replies, Krishna gives himself to any person who just remembers him, even without asking for anything. The genitive case, smarataha, stands for the dative case, smarate, that means unto the person who remembers. What to speak of Krishna giving material wealth and sense gratification to his devotee, which are not very desirable for him to give, because in the long run they are tasteless. Moreover, Krishna is the benefactor of the universe, and thus he gives to those who entreat him even what they have not specifically begged for. Therefore, if you go to Dwarka and just remain silent, Krishna will give you abundant wealth you desire. Since he is your true benefactor, he will also give you the sweetness of his lotus feet. So next verse. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when his wife repeatedly implored him in various ways, the Brahmana thought to himself, to see Lord Krishna is indeed the greatest achievement in life. Thus he decided to go, but first he told her, my good wife, if there is anything in the house I can bring as a gift, please give it to me. So in the commentary, due to his natural humility, Sudama was initially dissatisfied with his wife's constant requests. Finally, he pacified his mind and decided to go by thinking, I will become very fortunate by seeing my Lord. Sudama asked, there is some gift in the house, please give it to me. The idea is, how can I go empty-handed to my friend's house? So next text. Sudama's wife begged 4 handfuls of flat rice from the neighboring brahmanas, tied up the rice in a torn piece of cloth, and gave it to her husband as a present for Lord Krishna. Next verse. Taking the flat rice, the saintly brahmana set off for Dwarka, all the while wondering, how will I be able to have Krishna's audience? So, commentary. Sudama thought, how will I enter, since I will be stopped by the gatekeepers? Next verse. The learned brahmanas, joined by some local brahmanas, passed 3 guard stations and went through, the learned brahmanas, sir, singular, joined by some local brahmanas, passed 3 guard stations and went through 3 gateways and then walked by the homes of Lord Krishna's faithful devotees, the Andakas and Vrishnis, who ordinarily no one could do. Then he entered one of the opulent palaces belonging to Lord Hari's 16,000 queens, and when he did so, he felt as if he were attaining the bliss of liberation. So commentary. Sudama passed through 3 encampments of soldiers protecting the outer gates and 3 tall tower houses at the inner gates of the city. Accompanied by local brahmanas, Sudama passed near the houses of the unconquerable Vrishnis and Andakas. He entered the main palace among the palaces of Krishna's 16,000 queens. It was the palace of Rukmini, according to the Padma Purana. Satu Rukmini Yanta Purdwari Kshanam Tushnum Stitaha. He stood silently at the doorway of Queen Rukmini's palace. Sudama momentarily forgot everything because he felt as he had attained the bliss of liberation. Next text. At that time, Lord Achyuta was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahmana at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. Commentary. Seeing him, Krishna got up and went forward into the courtyard where he embraced Sudama in great bliss. Next text. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmana, and thus he shed tears of love. Next text. Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O king, after which he sprinkled the water on his head. He anointed him with divinely fragrant sandalwood, oguru, kumkum paste, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and the rays of lamps. After finally offering him betel nut and the gift of a cow, he welcomed him with pleasing words. So commentary. Krishna sprinkled the water that he used to wash Sudama's feet on his head. Next text. By fanning him with her chamara, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor brahmana whose clothing was torn and dirty, and it was so thin that the veins were visible all over his body. Commentary. Rukmini personally fanned Sudama with a chamara. In another version of the text, the word sakshat is replaced by the word shaibya, which would mean that another queen, Shaibya, fanned Sudama. But this does not agree with the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. Next text. The people in the royal palace were astonished to see Lord Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor the shabbily dressed brahmana. So, commentary. The word Amalakirtaniya, spotless fame, implies that henceforth, Krishna's fame, which personally attends him, would assume the form of the glories of his having delivered Sudama from poverty. Avaduta means whose clothes were unclean. So next text. The residents of the palace said, what pious acts has this unkempt, impoverished Brahmin performed? People regard him as lowly and contemptible, yet the spiritual master of the three worlds, the abode of Goddess Shri, is serving him reverently. Leaving the goddess of fortune sitting on her bed, the Lord has embraced this Brahmin as if he were an older brother. So commentary. These two verses describe the astonishment of the Dwarka Vasis. Sudamana was lowly in the sense that he was dressed in shabby cloth. Next text. Taking each other's hands, O King, Krishna and Sudam talked pleasantly about how they had once lived together in the school of their guru. So commentary, Krishna and Sudam talked about their school days while holding hands with each other. Next text. My dear Brahmana, you know well the ways of Dharma. After you offered the gift of remuneration to our guru and returned home from his school, did you marry a compatible wife or not? So commentary. Though Krishna was dressed as a householder, he did not appear to be enjoying any material pleasure. Therefore, Krishna asked him if he was married or not. Krishna said, you know well, this is still the commentary, you know well the religious principle that after graduating from school, one should get married in order to prevent the fault of having no ashram. That's funny. Next text. Even though you are mostly involved in household affairs, your mind is not affected by material desires. Nor, O learned one, do you take much pleasure in the pursuit of material wealth. This I am very much aware of. So commentary. Krishna said, even though you are not speaking out of embarrassment, I know the actual situation. Krishna reveals this to him in this verse. Sudama, although you are a householder, this is still within the commentary, your heart is not disturbed by lust. O wise one, Vidvan, I know that because you understand the temporary nature of material enjoyment, you have little attraction for wealth, clothing, and other things. Therefore, these material things have not been given to you. The words prayo and ati imply that for the sake of your wife, you are displaying a favorable disposition towards material wealth. This indicates that Krishna will give these things later on. Krishna said, just see, though this man is a householder, he is without desires and does not want anything from others. Even if he is given some charity by force, still he will not accept it. At this time, Krishna thought, to broadcast Sudama's fame in Dwarka, I will not reveal his desire to anyone, nor outwardly give any charity to him here. So next text. Having renounced all material propensities which spring from the Lord's illusory energy, some people execute worldly duties with their minds undisturbed by mundane desires. They act as I do to instruct the general populace. So, commentary. Krishna said, I know very well that you did not take sannyas like others, even though you were renounced. Those who were detached engage in work, even though their minds are not attracted by material desires. By working in this way, they give up the perverted propensity of the mind to create desires for material enjoyment. As a householder, I act, this is Krishna, of course, speaking in the commentary, according to the scriptural injunctions in order to teach the people in general. Next text. Oh, my dear Brahmana, do you remember how we lived together in our spiritual master's school? When a twice-born student has learned from his guru all that is to be learned, he can enjoy spiritual life which lies beyond all ignorance. So, commentary. In his mind, Sudama doubted, because Krishna worships me in this way, though I am so lowly, does he actually recognize who I am or not? To dispel this doubt, Krishna reminds Sudama of their school days together in these 12 verses. Krishna said, do you remember our living at the Gurukula? By knowing the true nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Brahmana can transcend material existence. Next text. My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master, and he who initiates him as a twice-born Brahmana and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. It's an important verse. Let's see if I can save this one. 1, 2, 2, 4. Okay, got it. Okay. So, commentary. Krishna said, in human life there are three gurus, one's father, one who gives upanayanam, and the one who teaches about me. Of these, the last is most worshipable. The father who makes possible our birth, Sambhava, in this world, is the first guru. He who gives upanayanam, teaches Gayatri Mantra, engages one in sacrificial activities, is the second guru. But he who gives knowledge to the people in the four ashrams and who teaches about me is to be worshipped on the same level as me. So actually, in ISKCON, this can always refer to Prabhupada, that's why I'm trying to draw that parallel right here. It's actually an important verse that needs to be quoted to the GBC. The verse said, well, the verse itself says, my dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master, and he who initiates him as a twice-born Brahmana and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. That's very interesting. This verse can be used, actually, in relationships to the Rifiks. Because the Rifiks, they say the Prabhupada continues to initiate after he left this world. You know, that's the Rifik philosophy. But actually, it's more important than initiation is the position of the Acharya who bestows, as stated here in the verse, who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society. So that's the definition of an Acharya. So in other words, according to this, that Prabhupada is one's ultimate spiritual master for every member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What a nice verse and purport. I mean, I definitely have to. Let me just make some extra effort to copy that. Actually, copy a bigger section. Oh, I see. Whoops. It's a very important verse. And this verse has not been quoted before in the context of dealing with the Rishabh philosophy.
So it's kind of...
it's a key verse.
It's like, in a way, it's kind of agreeing with and showing the difference.
Well, it's not agreeing with the Rishabhs. The Rishabhs say the Prabhupada is initiating even after he leaves the planet. This is actually agreeing making the point that Prabhupada is the ultimate spiritual master. I mean, these are the words used by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Let's see, the Sanskrit is Savai Sat Karmanam Sakshat Vijatir Iha Sambhavat Adyo Nga Yathashrama Yathaham Yanado Guru. Yeah, Yathaham Yanado Guru. That means the one who gives the spiritual knowledge. He is the actual spiritual master. You know, actually, the ultimate.
So then, if Prabhupada's our ultimate spiritual master, what is the name for taking initiation?
No, it says here, it gives three different gurus in the verse if you're listening. One is the father, your first spiritual master. The second one is the brahmana who gives you and engages one in devotional service and also initiates one. He says, I'll read it again. My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. And he who initiates him as a twice-born brahmana and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. So the initiating guru engages someone in devotional service and initiates him. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society. In other words, it's like all-encompassing for the whole society. Does everyone understand that point? It's really interesting.
But what would you say to the group that could say, well, Prabhupada is ultimately everyone's?
Yes, I would say that's true.
But so, what if they say, so there's no need?
Ultimately, no, that's not what this says here. It makes a difference between the three.
But if
it doesn't say there's no need. It says, it doesn't even, no, it doesn't say there's no need. It says that there is a need. One has to take initiation from someone and engages them. The key word is engaging, because Prabhupada is not engaging people in devotional service. It's the people we deal with who are on the planet who are engaging us. So, Prabhupada is everyone's ultimate spiritual master, ultimate Siksha Guru, because Siksha Guru is more important than Diksha Guru. I mean, that's our philosophy. And ultimately, Prabhupada Siksha, giving Siksha to everybody, Prabhupada Siksha what was I going to say about that? You know, and so Prabhupada Siksha is the ultimate basis of everyone else's Siksha in the movement, because it's all coming from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is the ultimate spiritual master of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the discipline of succession is transmitted through siksha. We have a siksha discipline of succession. For example, you have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and then his siksha disciple is Baladev Vijayabhushan. And there's no initiation between the two of them. Absolutely no initiation. Baladev Vijayabhushan took initiation from someone else. But the connection is the siksha connection. Does everyone understand that? Really interesting. This verse, I mean, I really have to post this to our GBC conference. Such an important verse. It's good I read this today. Okay, we'll just read a little bit more. The next text is, certainly, O Brahmana, of all the followers of the Varnashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as the spiritual master, and thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence, best understand their own true welfare. So commentary. In this verse, Krishna describes how the third guru delivered his student for the material world. Krishna said, certainly among those who follow the Varnashram system, those who know the highest truth easily cross the ocean of material existence by hearing from a bona fide guru who teaches about me and initiates them into my mantra. Such a guru is my very form. So next verse. I, the soul of all beings, am not satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. So Krishna says, I mean the commentary says, Krishna said, therefore the guru who teaches, this is all in the commentary, therefore the guru who teaches about me is the most worthy of being faithfully served. Even though I am the soul of all beings, sarva-bhuta-atma, I am not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances, or self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. So next text. O Brahmana, do you remember what happened to us while we were living within our spirit, with our spiritual master? Once the guru's wife sent us to fetch firewood, And after we entered the vast forest, though twice born one, an unseasonal storm arose with fierce wind and rain and harsh thunder. Commentary. Krishna said, do you remember the incident that happened while we were living with our guru? It was winter and the great storm suddenly arose with wind, rain, and thundering clouds, although it was unseasonal. And next text. Then as the sun set, the forest was covered by darkness in every direction, and with all the flooding, we could not distinguish high land from low. Next text. Constantly besieged by the powerful wind and rain, we lost our way amidst the flooding waters. We simply held each other's hands and in great distress wandered aimlessly about the forest. Commentary. The verb pari-vrinwa may be understood to be the prefix pari with either the word vri or vram. The word vram indicates that Krishna and Sudam wandered all about. The prefix vri, which means to carry, indicates that while wandering about, the two boys continued carrying the wood they had collected for their spiritual masters. Next text. Our guru Sandipani, understanding our predicament, set out after sunrise to search for us, his disciples, and found us in distress. Sandipani said, next text. Oh, my children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregard your own comfort. Next text. This indeed is the duty of all true disciples, to repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with pure hearts their wealth and even their very lives. So in the commentary, it is said, Sandipani Muni said, all true disciples should repay the debt to their guru by offering their body, which is the basis of material conception of I, and all their assets, which is the basis of the conception of mind. Next text. You boys are first-class brahmanas, and I am very satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled, and may all the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or the next. Commentary. Sandipani Muni said, your knowledge of scriptures will remain ever fresh in your minds and never grow old in this life or the next. The next text. Lord Krishna continued, we had many similar experiences while living in our spiritual master's home. Simply by the grace of the spiritual master, a person could fulfill a life's purpose and attain eternal peace. Next text. The Brahmana said, what could I possibly have failed to achieve, O Lord of Lords, O Universal Teacher, since I was able to personally live with you, whose every desire is fulfilled at the home of our spiritual master? Commentary. Sudama said, what lack of bliss was there for us? It was completely blissful for us to live in the Gurukula with you, whose every desire becomes fulfilled. Living in the Gurukula was by your wish alone. The difficulties of wind and rain we encountered while fetching wood were due to your own desire, since you wanted to teach devotion to the spiritual master. Other than that, what power did the wind and rain have over you? The Upanishads say, the wind blows out of fear for you. It was my great fortune to have lived with you. And then the last text in the chapter. O Almighty Lord, your body comprises the absolute truth in the form of the Vedas and is thus the source of all auspicious goals of life. That you took up residence at the school of a spiritual master is simply one of your pastimes in which you play the role of a human being. And final commentary. Sudama said, your body comprises the absolute truth in the form of the Vedas and it is the source of a panam jitram of all auspicious goals. You lived in the Gurukula only to teach others. Thus ends the commentary on the 80th chapter, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, for the pleasure of the devotees, in accordance with the previous acharyas. So tomorrow we'll read the next chapter. So any questions? And actually these translations were done by Banu Maharaj, who is the GBC in South India, parts of South India, particularly he's the temple president in Chennai. Some of you have met Banu Maharaj, or very nice devotee. Banu Maharaj is actually a Japanese devotee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's actually, it's very interesting. He's Japanese, but he spent most of his life in India. Very intelligent. And he, you know, he knows Sanskrit, Bengali. Amazing devotee. You know, really amazing and humble, too. Extremely humble devotee. So, any questions about anything we've read? Yeah.
You read in the beginning the deities who do not wait for the...
Not the deities.
Waste.
No. We shouldn't put Charanamrita below waste.
Carry.
What?
Carry Charanamrita.
No. When we put Charanamrita, you know, like we, if we honor Charanamrita, you know, get honor here, there, on the heart. Or like when you're honoring the lamp that's offered to the deities, you don't put your hand there. Yeah, because you know some people like I do when I honor the lamp, I put to the heart too. You know, actually I do with the heart, here, and the eyes. It looks like almost like Christian cross the way I do it. You know how the Christians cross themselves. But that's how it, you know, when the lamp is offered to me during the arti, then it's, you know, the head, the eyes, and the heart. But I, you know, never go below the belt.
Yeah,
that's the point. It has nothing to do with the deities, bathing the deities. It has to do with whether when accepting Charanamrita. Charanamrita, in other words, you know, you take Charanamrita, you put it on your back. I mean, obviously you don't usually put it on your back. You usually put it on your head. But it should never touch anything below the belt. That's the whole point. So, other questions? It's actually nice. Nice Bhagavatam commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He brings out a lot that you don't ordinarily hear in these particular stories.
So, how come that Sudan Brahma recently he went to these three doors? Because previously he was wondering, I think, how he managed.
He would enter, well, because he entered, it's described here, he entered with other Brahmanas. If he had entered with other Brahmins, they would have stopped him. They would have thought, here's a bum, why don't you come in? He had other Brahmins who were actually better dressed.
And there is some Brahmins from Dwarka.
Yeah. He had some Brahmins. He met some other Brahmins from Dwarka who recognized his exalted status, and they were able to help him go in.
Probably because of, you know,
false. Otherwise, they would have stopped him. I mean, he hadn't cleaned his clothes, you know, ragged and everything like that. You wouldn't let anyone like that go in to see Krishna.
He said that avaduta means that he had really...
Yeah, avaduta, the word in Sanskrit means like the wind. Mm. Avadut. You know, the wind. So it means that someone who's just like, how to say, you know, just like a hippie, basically. That's exactly what it means. Like a hippie, you know, unkempt, just like the wind blowing everywhere. There was once a devotee we had in North Carolina. I don't know if you were there when we had it. His name was Avaduta.
Yeah.
And he was like that.
He was.
His name was Avaduta Shiromani.
He took really interesting
operations. Yeah. But he was completely an Avaduta.
He was really good with book distribution.
Yeah. He was good with book distribution, but he was... Actually, the name Avaduta refers to Lord Nityananda, too. Because Lord Nityananda... Of course, he wasn't never dressed in a wretched fashion, but he just did things against the rules and regulations. Like he was a sannyasi and he got married. So he was just like...
He was a sannyasi and he got married.
Yeah. Lord Nityananda, yeah. He had Lord Nityananda Gosai. And then he, even when he was a sannyasi, before he got married, he would wear jewelry, earrings, you know, and all sorts of jewelry on his body and opulent clothes, and even thieves, they wanted to steal it. There's actually stories about that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And eventually those thieves became liberated. There's one famous story about that. So that's what an avaduta is. And in the Bhagavatam also there's the story of the avaduta Brahman, who just like was so detached, he just lay there. And if food came, it was alright. If food didn't come, it wasn't alright. So there's many stories about avadutas. Rishabhadev, yeah, he did the Jata Yoga, which is actually more than the avadutas type of stuff, because he would sit in his own stool, you know, anyway. The stool was fragrant, of course.
Python.
There's the, that's another story, the Python Man, that's the avaduta Brahman, yeah.
Why would he
say? Python Man is avaduta.
Yeah, that's the avaduta, yeah. Because he would just lay there.
Why would they sit in it?
Because it was fragrant. It was like It was like perfume, you know.
Okay.
Because he was Krishna, you know, it was an incarnation of Krishna. So even, you know, Krishna's stool doesn't come from digestion, you know, the garbage that comes out of the body. Everything about Krishna, it's just like a manifestation of the internal potency of the Lord. Krishna's sweat, Krishna's stool, I mean, and all these things, Krishna's hair, everything is just like very, what can I say, relishable and worshipable. Okay, any other questions?
If we should not ask for themselves, ask for other people.
What's that?
We should not ask for self, you know.
Well, it depends on your level of devotional service. You can't artificially imitate. That's another thing. You know, you can't really artificially imitate the level of these great devotees. The injunction is Akama Sarvakama Moksha Karma Dharadi to Vraina Bhakti Yogini Yajeda Purusham Puram. If you have a material desire, full of material desires, or no material desires, or desiring liberation, you should worship Krishna. Like Dhruva Maharaj, the story we were talking about last night, yesterday morning. Dhruva Maharaj had so many material desires, but he worshipped Krishna and got purified. So if you have some material desires, I mean, then approach Krishna. It's better approaching Krishna than Lord Shiva, it's better approaching Krishna than the demigods, you know, like Durga or anyone else. So you can't imitate Sudama Brahma. That's what I see. If you try to imitate, it's just very artificial and it causes you to be very proud.
Can I
ask
one? Yeah. Growing up, I used to always think, oh, I shouldn't ask Krishna for things. But then, well, like now I'm doing my own therapy practice, and I can't, like, depend on, like, employer for my income. So, like, you know, I was telling my father, like, oh, like, you know, what if, sometimes there's the kind of, like, morality issues in the city or kind of things. And then my father was saying, I should pray to Krishna to protect, you know, like my practice, and then he was saying that Krishna wants me to be dependent on him.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, like we told the story yesterday, then Draupadi was being disrobed, she prayed to Krishna to protect her. Right? So, you know, you can't just artificially imitate someone like Sudama Brahman.
So, along with it,
fly the kites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and obviously, it's better to approach Krishna than artificially make believe that, you know, you're on a higher level of devotional service and just, I'm not gonna ask Krishna anything.
Because then I feel like if I don't ask for Krishna for things, then I just don't think about Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Bhagavatam tells us whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or desires of liberation, you should ask Krishna. I mean, obviously, if you're like Sudama Brahman, you don't ask Krishna. But, you know, if I was, you know, if I was going to Krishna's palace, you know, I'd probably have a whole list. And you gotta be honest about it, you know. I say, you know, I need money for a new temple, Krishna. You know, can we send that? You know, I'd like a new computer. No, I wouldn't ask for that. I mean, I don't think I'm that bad. I'm not that bad that I would ask Krishna. But I would definitely ask him for, you know, the temple. Something to do with the temple or with the devotee that I was concerned with. You know, if you're concerned with someone's having spiritual difficulty, you'd ask Krishna for that. If you see someone who's sick and suffering, you can ask Krishna, you know, please help this person. I mean, there's so many things. Like Prabhupada even advised us to pray for him. My dear Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was very sick. So, you know, I think we have to be practical. We should approach Krishna and reveal our mind. We reveal our mind to Krishna. So there's no problem with that. Okay, any other questions? No? Okay, so then we can... Where? What's that? I mean, how to appreciate the Dham while you're doing well. I think one has to see beyond like the external manifestation of the Dhamma and actually into, see through Shastra basically, see how every resident of the Dhamma, because if you can appreciate the Dhamma, you got to appreciate the people in the Dhamma. I appreciate every resident of the Dhamma is actually very Krishna conscious, even though externally it may appear that they're trying to take your money from you or harass you in different ways. And just be very loving towards all the residents of the Holy Dhamma. I mean, I think that's the secret. I mean, when I go around Govardhan, I mean, I just feel like everyone is like very dear to me.
Everyone is
very dear to me. Even if someone is, you know, just bothering me for money or something like that, I just feel this, you know, I just feel very lovingly towards them. And I joke with them, but I never feel hateful towards any resident of the Dham. If you feel hateful towards any resident of the Dham, Krishna becomes very upset with you. Because the best way to appreciate the Dham is to appreciate those who are in the Dham.
When I was here before, it was a while ago, now there's so much inflation. Before, sometimes I would just give a couple rupees.
Now they get angry.
Now they get angry. They want at least like 10 rupees.
So give them, you know, give them whatever. You don't have to give it to them. I mean, I don't give so many donations every once in a while. But I usually, you know, I don't get angry with them that they're asking for donations. It's just very, you know, just have a joking, be like, see, the thing about the Brajabasis, they're very, like, joking. And they also can get very angry, too. And they can curse you in a second. But if you have, a warm, joking relationship with them, they like it. You know, warm, teasing, joking relationship. And you know, with the kids, when the kids follow you on parikrama, the best thing is to make sure, I mean, unless you want to give to 10,000 kids, the best thing is to make believe they're not there. Because once you actually pay attention to them and you start saying no and talking to them directly, they know they got you. But if you just keep walking, Hare Krishna, it's just like somehow or other don't see them. I mean, sometimes, actually, the best thing is if we can carry some candy around.
Yeah.
And you give these little candies, you know, when we go to town, if we can get a bag of candies and just give them to the kids. But money, first of all, the kids who are begging, usually they give the money to the adults. It's not, 90% of the cases, the kids, the adults are using the kids to beg for them, and I don't really like that. That's why I won't give to a child, because it continues this whole process by which the adults are abusing the kids and using them to go out and beg. In India, sometimes they'll even disable a kid, so the kid will actually make more money out there.
Yeah,
it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean,
my mother will cry for 1 week, you know, because she understood, you know, they disabled this kid.
Yeah.
Broke her legs.
Yeah, they break someone's leg, or line them.
Full with wounds, you know, like, and she wanted to do something, but then, you know, we understood, I said, avoid something kind of woman's school and they take it for kids.
Yeah.
Let's understand from there, so the guy who's holding the shop, he said, you know, these are professional babies and they do this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And even if you buy them some clothes, they sell the clothes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, sometimes, like in the cold, someone will be shivering outside, you give him a chadar, and he'll come back, and he won't have the chadar the next day because he'll sell it.
Yes, so she got some food or something.
Yeah, the best thing is to give them food that they eat right there. Food or candy that they eat right there. I mean, money. I mean, sometimes you can give the widows some money. But things are very organized here. Even some, like you see all these women, the widows and everything, they beg. But then usually, many times they have to turn it into some man at the end of the day. And then the man gives them, you know, a little bit of food. So it's like a mafia type of situation here.
Yeah.
It's not.
I went to school now, she and Dito shared one sponsorship of one kid. I've been told of that.
Yeah. Sponsoring a kid is the best thing. Best thing you can do is sponsor a kid, have a kid get educated, get food when they come to school.
How much is the process?
It's about $60 or last I checked, it was about $60 a month, between 60 and 70.
It's like, $300, $200
sometimes. That's not for a full sponsorship.
No?
No, that's just for feeding someone.
Oh.
But like if you're talking about school, I'm talking about sending someone to school.
Yeah.
Radharaja is sponsoring something like 15 kids.
Mm.
He's going to be in Mayapur around there. Okay, why don't we end?